2002, the U.S. Supreme Court, heavily influenced by international law, ruled in the Atkins case that it was unconstitutional to execute one who was mentally retarded. Since the Atkins versus Virginia ruling, perhaps hundreds of mentally retarded men and women have had their death sentences quietly commuted to life, and many people have been released from the solitary confinement that is death row. One would think that the man whose name marks the case, Darrell Atkins, would have been among that number, but Virginia officials disagreed. Defense lawyers for Atkins asked 8 mental health professionals to examine the 26-year-old man, and all 8 came to the conclusion that he was indeed mentally retarded. Prosecutors in York County, Virginia, sent 3 mental health professionals to examine Atkins, and while all 3 found he suffered from significant limitations in intellectual functioning, they concluded that he was not mentally retarded. On this split basis, York County convened a jury, and after all was said and done, the jurors chose to believe the state's mental health experts, and Darrell Atkins was, once again, sentenced to death. What does it matter if the Supreme Court rules that the execution of the mentally retarded is unconstitutional, if the state can then argue, based on the bare minimum of evidence, that the accused isn't retarded? Jurors, oftentimes driven on the currents of emotion, have been known to find facts that simply aren't, as a matter of history, true. In cases such as these, where professionals may differ on matters of mental health and functioning, if 8 out of 11 mental health professionals find that the accused is mentally retarded, shouldn't the preponderance of evidence prevail? Darrell Atkins was convicted, along with his co-defendant, William Jones, for the alleged abduction, robbery, and slaying of Eric Nesbitt back in 1996. Jones took a guilty plea and was sentenced to life. Atkins went to trial, where a death sentence was returned after his convictions. Essentially, Atkins, a 27-year-old, was sentenced to death for daring to go for a jury trial. Atkins has an IQ of 59. It figures. Also, did I say that Mr. Nesbitt was white? That also figures. The state and national NAACP implored the York County Commonwealth Attorney, Eileen Addison, to sentence Atkins to life instead of pursuing the death penalty. Obviously, the Commonwealth Attorney opted to ignore their counsel. That too figures. For Darrell Atkins, there must be, to say the least, mixed feelings. Relief that after all these years, he is no longer considered retarded, at least by a jury of his peers. And dread that even after the U.S. Supreme Court has spoken, he is still facing death. Now, inexorably, the long and harrowing trek through the court continues. The Atkins case demonstrates the domination of the political over the legal. It shows us how the right-wing revolution in the law has inverted the pyramid, where the highest court isn't really the Supreme Court, but the lowest trial-level courts in the system, the places where political ambitions and prejudice reigns. Atkins' lawyers had every reason to believe that their client was on his way off of Virginia's death row. They went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and against great odds, they won. Like most lawyers, they believe that what the Supreme Court says goes. They and their client, Darrell Atkins, have recently learned that it ain't necessarily so. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.